We will begin in about a minute or two, so I'll ask everyone to please look at their phone to make sure it's on silent. And Allie, are you okay presenting early? Yeah. Okay. So we'll try to move you up on the agenda.
All right. Mayor, I think we do have her as a first information item. We did want to get through the action items while we had a quorum present.
I'll ask the board to see if they're okay.
Okay.
It as right before the action items, because I don't think it's going to be more than a 10-minute presentation.
Okay.
So, with that being said,
are you ready to call the meeting to order?
I am ready. Okay. To call the meeting to order. Do I need to join audio? All right. Okay.
Just move forward with the meeting. All right.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Palm Beach County Transportation Disadvantaged Local Coordinating Board today, Wednesday, February 23rd, 2022 at 2 o'clock. I'll ask everyone to please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And instructions to join the virtual meeting as well as contact information for assistance are provided in the published meeting agenda. I'll ask the staff to please call the roll so that we can establish a quorum.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll have my staff adjust your audio as well. So right now I will only be asking the members present in person. Can you hear me? Members present in person to state your name or state here if you're present. If you're an alternate, please state your name that you're representing on behalf of. And then to Keisha, I will note your attendance when we do modifications to the agenda. So Millery's, and I'm sorry, it's been a while since you all have been here. There's a button on the base of your microphone. When you hit it and the red light is on, it means you're on and we're getting you on the recording. So Millery Sanat. Yeah. Vanessa Palomino.
Here.
Wen Deng.
Here.
Elisa Kramer. Jerome Hill.
Here.
Marie Dorsman.
Yeah.
Angela Choice.
Here.
Jody Boisvert.
Here.
Robin Manuel. Merlene Ramnon.
Here.
Laura Schultz. Elizabeth Clark.
Here.
Robert Goodman. Here. James Bonfiglio.
Here.
The representatives for Private Transportation Industry and Workforce Development Board have vacancies, so they will be marked as absent throughout the meeting. Takesha Saffold will be marked as absent at this time. Stephen Grant.
Present.
We have a quorum in person, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you. Staff, are there any modifications to the agenda?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I do have that Takesha has joined us virtually and is requesting virtual participation. She noted her work schedule is conflicting with her in-person allowance. All
right. Are there any objections to Ms. Saffold to appear virtually? Seeing none. And I request that we move up information item 3A. To in front of general public comments. So may I have a motion to approve as amended?
So moved.
Thank you. Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Hearing none, motion passes unanimously. Are there any changes to the minutes? If not, can I have a motion to adopt the minutes as presented?
Motion to adopt the minutes as presented.
And do I have a second?
Second.
Second.
And Margie, do you need me to call?
No, I'm getting them. So I have a motion by James and a second by Jody.
All right. Thank you. Any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Hearing none. Motion to approve the minutes has passed. And now we're jumping up ahead to item 3A, invite Ali Sewell, Brightline Vice President of Community Relations, to present this item.
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, Board. Thank you for inviting me to speak. I'm going to get into my presentation, but first I'm going to start with something that I think everybody in this room is passionate about, and that is safety. So this morning we attended, in addition to Mayor Grant, thank you to Boynton Beach for hosting the event. Valerie was at the meeting. Palm Beach County, Todd Von Laurum was there. We attended a workshop that was hosted by the Federal Railroad Administration that focused on getting all of the railroads and our local communities in the room to talk about safety. What are the things that we can be doing collaboratively, both on the South Florida Rail Corridor and on the Brightline Corridor, to remind people to stay safe and to stay off the tracks? And so I like to start all of my presentations, especially this one, with each of you in this room can be our ambassador to helping promote the safety message to your friends and family. Please stay off the tracks and stay safe and don't go around the gates or go under the gates, because it really can cost you your life. So we ask everybody to be patient and to please keep safety top of mind. So with that, I will get started. So Brightline is, for those of you who may not have been on it, we are the only privately owned and operated inner city passenger rail system in the United States. We currently operate between Miami and West Palm Beach with two new stations under construction. One is in Boca and the other one is in Aventura. And we are more than 70% complete with our construction to Orlando. So we will be launching our Orlando service early next year. And that is terminus is at the Orlando International Airport. We will also open our Boca and Aventura stations by the end of this year. Wow. And we have also launched Brightline Plus, which is our new door-to-door mobility service that I'll talk a little bit about in the next couple of slides I have. So we are building smarter and more prosperous communities. We're focused on really attracting people to a live, work, play destination. And I think West Palm Beach is a perfect example of that. You know, in West Palm Beach, our station was located in what the former mayor of the city, Mayor Moyo, called the hole in the donut. You had a City Place and the government center, Clematis Street. But there was nothing really tying the two together until Brightline came. And, you know, shout out to Wynn as well, because she was with the city who helped us work on bringing Brightline to West Palm Beach. So these are just some shots of our phase two construction. Again, more than 70% complete. It is a truly transformative project for the state of Florida. And it's a pretty intense project as well. So we're double tracking the entire corridor between West Palm Beach and Cocoa. We are upgrading every grade crossing to meet the highest safety standards set by the Federal Railroad Administration and FDOT. The same can be said for our corridors between West Palm and Miami. However, we run different speeds, so different speeds require different infrastructure upgrades. We also launched, when we relaunched in November, we launched with Positive Train Control, which is a federally mandated system that helps prevent train-to-train collisions and also speeding through certain areas. We will have that fully implemented to Orlando when we start there early next year. So I was also asked to present on what Brightline is doing to make sure that we are accessible to everybody. And We take pride in being, frankly, the most ADA compliant train in the United States. So we were the first train in America to have level boarding. So if you've been on Brightline compared to the other rail systems in the region, Tri-Rail, for example, Amtrak, you have to mind the gap and essentially watch your step. And that means that you have to actually step up onto the train. With Brightline, our platform is actually in line with the train. So we have what's called a gap filler that extends out from the train. So if you're in a wheelchair, if you're pushing a stroller, if you have luggage, you can seamlessly roll from the platform onto the train. No step up is needed. And we've actually found that for all of our guests to be one of the most innovative features that we have launched. We're also very accessible once you're on board the trains. So our aisles are 32 inches wide, and that's from one end of the train to the other. So if you're in a wheelchair, you can go from one side of the train to the other. You're not restricted to the car that you would be in because you might not be able to move around. We also have dedicated wheelchair seating, and also our bathrooms. So our bathrooms are big enough for a wheelchair. They're fully ADA compliant, big enough for parents with strollers, and also, you know, big enough for all of us. And they're also hands-free. So, you know, when COVID hit and we were looking to reopen, we were thinking about all of the things that we could do to reaffirm to our guests that cleanliness and safety, you know, were our top priorities. And what we found is that we were already prioritizing those things. When we first researched and developed Brightline, the first thing we heard was that people didn't want to take trains, frankly, because of the bathroom situation. They were small, dirty, cramped, dark, you couldn't move around in them. And so I think if you've been on Brightline and you've been in our bathrooms, they really are a pretty strong feature that we have. We actually even won best bathroom in Miami-Dade County. So, and then seating. So I mentioned Brightline Plus. Brightline Plus is, again, our door-to-door mobility service that is powered by electric technology and our app. So if you're a Brightline rider, you can book a ride from your house or your office or your restaurant to the Brightline station. You can take a Brightline train and then go to your final destination, all without having to leave the Brightline app. So we have private vehicles, which are our Teslas. We have shared vehicles, which are our vans. And then we also have circuit golf carts. And we're also working with the city of West Palm Beach on launching a bike share program next month. So all of that you'll be able to utilize in the Brightline app. And we definitely wanted to make sure that everybody was also accommodated while using that service. So that was my quick presentation update that I was asked to provide. I'm happy to answer any questions that are related to Brightline. If you may have them. So thank you.
Mayor Grant, I'm sorry, before you take questions, I did want to note for the record that Elisa Kramer did join us remotely. Okay. And I wanted to know if you would take that item up first in case she had questions so we could promote her to a panelist.
Absolutely. Does anyone have any objections for Ms. Kramer to appear virtually? Seeing none, please welcome her to a panelist.
Thank you.
And so I know there's a lot of new faces here. And so if anyone has any questions or comments, you can always tip your name card otherwise for me to call on you. And we will go starting from my left. Jody.
Yes, thank you. I love Brightline, but for people experiencing poverty, it's a little unaffordable. Are there vouchers or is there some type of program that you're thinking about implementing that could accommodate people of low income?
Yeah, so I mean, Brightline is not public transportation in the sense that, you know, we think about mass transportation. So we are privately owned and operated. Our focus is inner city travel. So we're really focused on capturing that rider that's going, you know, for a quick trip between Miami and West Palm Beach, not necessarily a there are commuters who are less price sensitive that might not care about the time. But not to say that we have been working. We do provide complimentary rides to nonprofits and 501c3s. We've hosted numerous groups of after-school programs, STEM programs, children who might not have ever been on a train. We bring them on board. We talk to them about rail safety, walk them through what Brightline's innovations are. And we've also done some stuff in Miami-Dade. SFRTA is looking to bring Tri-Rail into Miami Central. As part of that deal with the Overtown Park West CRA, Tri-Rail will actually offer free rides to Overtown residents for a period of time while that bond payment is met. So we do look to have significant community relations and feedback and make sure that the community is aware. We've hosted, lighthouse groups on the train. We work with all types of individuals and groups to make sure that they are able to experience and learn about Brightline.
So I'll add a comment that you had a Black Friday sale that I took advantage of. And so I do, hopefully, you bring a private enterprise, we'll have certain deals throughout the year. I know that sometimes if there is a certain event, you may have your, the smart service?
Yes, there's two types of service. The smart is, I don't want to say basic because we strive to have a great guest experience, but it's our smart service and our premium. Our premium includes the food and beverage. Our smart service is the train ticket. And if you would like a drink on board, you can purchase that.
And so I do appreciate. And so I would suggest if, you're looking to ride the Bright Line and in advance that to get on their mailing list because, they also have different events. Like the Polar Express, where I'm sure that event would be ADA compliant. Yes.
Well, it's on our train. So yes, it is definitely ADA compliant.
James?
Hi, thank you for your presentation. I have a couple of questions. I see that you have a flagship station at Orlando. My question is, is there any way to get from the West Palm Beach and the Fort Lauderdale station and to the international airports at those communities, and how do you do that?
Yeah, so great question.
And the same, I can't tell if Miami goes to the airport too, but if it doesn't, same question for that.
So I'll start with Miami Central. So Miami Central is actually connected to all of the public transportation options in Miami-Dade County. So Metro Rail, Metro Mover, bus, trolley, bike share. So the Metro Rail actually has the Orange Line, which connects directly to the Miami Intermodal Center, which is at the airport. So that's one option that you can take that's fully integrated into our system. And we're working with Miami-Dade, Broward, and PalmTran about how to actually integrate public transportation into, our app. So if you did want to take Metro Rail, come from the airport on Metro Rail to Brightline, you could do that. We're looking at making it seamless for the user. But we are also launching a shuttle service probably in a few weeks that will take you directly to the airports as well.
Okay.
And that's using our Brightline Plus vehicles.
And another question, what accommodations, if any, have you made for the hearing impaired and the sight impaired at the stations and access to the tickets and access to the trains and access to the connections between the trains and the various hubs that you can connect to?
So we definitely, train our staff in this and have other ways that we integrate, but I will actually get you a very explicit answer on that. So I will follow up with you with this board directly.
And one final question. I see that you have in here a presentation on door-to-door service. Is that a reservation system?
Yes.
And how far in advance do you need to call to make a reservation for a pickup to take you to or from one of the stations?
So it is a reservation system because we only have so many vehicles. And so right now we ask guests to book it no less than 2 hours in advance.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
And I will follow up with you on your other question to get more specific information.
Thank you.
All right. Do we see any more tents up? Yep. Mr. Goodman.
I've seen some articles in the paper about accident rates are pretty high with Brightline. I'm curious I know you went over a whole, discussion of, is there some way to get rid of those situations where there are mostly just people riding around around the gates, or is it people, just committing suicide?
I appreciate that question, and I can assure you that Brightline would like nothing more than to eliminate all of the incidents that are occurring on the railroad. This is a nationwide problem, as the Federal Railroad Administration said this morning. Trespassing and illegal activity about going around gates happens on railroads across the nation. Unfortunately, we've seen an increased uptick of incidents on our corridor. I can tell you that a significant number of the trespassing incidents that we have been either deemed suicide, or the individuals have had drug or alcohol in their system at the time of death, which is why we have partnered with 211, which provides, the suicide hotline here in South Florida, to promote mental health wellness. Mayor Grant got his haircut this morning. We also have the Buzz Box. So we believe that if you look good, you feel good. And so we have a partnership where we bring a mobile barbershop to high-risk communities, homeless shelters, youth organizations, in exchange for taking the rail safety pledge, you get a complimentary haircut. And so we're continuing to find ways to be out in the community to reach individuals who might not hear our PSAs on the radio, or might not, see social media, the posts about safety. But that's why I said, as a community, we need to come together to find ways to reach everybody. People are used to slower moving freight trains, but, if you get hit by a freight train going 60 miles an hour, it's the same situation as, getting struck by a Brightline train at 70 miles an hour. You don't want that to happen, and your life and those around you could be at risk. And last week, we don't normally do it because of investigation reasons, but, last week we had an individual who in Lake Worth Beach, the gates were down. A freight train went through the crossing. The gates remained down because what was coming was a Brightline train on the other tracks in the opposite direction. And the individual went around a car that was stopped in front of him and around the gates, and he was struck by the Brightline train. And so, how do we educate people that two tracks mean two trains? It takes less than 45 seconds for a Brightline train to go through the crossing and for the crossing to return to the upright position. And even if it's a freight train and it's 3 minutes, 3 minutes is not worth your life or taking that risk. And so we just need to continue to educate people and make them aware that these decisions are illegal and can be deadly.
Are you going to be opening up any more stations in the Palm Beach County area?
At this time, we don't plan on any more stations in Palm Beach County. As I said earlier, our goal is to be express inner city. So if you start adding more stations, you lose that express service that we want to provide. However, we will look in the future at adding stations in the Treasure Coast and in Brevard County.
I'm in Boca Raton, which is pretty far from West Palm Beach.
The good news is we're opening our Boca station by the end of this year.
One other thing, did you give out your presentation?
I'm sorry?
Is there a way I can get a large print copy of your presentation?
Robert, we do have it in front of you. It's in the order of the agenda, but we'll give it to you. No, it's okay.
Thank you.
Be happy to provide it and any follow-up that you need.
And I believe we have Takesha Saffold has a question virtually.
Yes, good afternoon. My question is, do you have a department that deals with accessibility, or like a direct contact for someone who may need to speak to someone related to accessibility concerns?
So we have our guest services department, but I will identify who the direct contact is and also follow up with that information.
Thank you.
If there's no further questions or comments, I want to thank Allie for this great presentation, and we look forward to working with Brightline in the future for paratransit service, where I do believe Palmtran connection. If someone needs to get to Miami and are, you know, is able to work with Palmtran for the ride there and ride back.
For sure. Thank you very much.
Next, we are going to general public comments. There are three ways to provide public comments for the meeting. Written comments may be submitted online at the website provided in the agenda. Verbal comments may be made by virtual attendees using the raise hand feature in the Zoom platform. Verbal and written comments may be provided by an in-person attendee submitting a comment card available at the welcome table. Have we received any general comments?
No, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you. Next, I welcome our newest LCB appointees, Elizabeth Clark as a representative of Children and Risk, and Pauline Spence as the alternate for the Agency for Persons with Disabilities. I received a request from Mr. Goodman for everyone to announce their name and their organization that they're with and state a little bit about themselves, because it has been a while since we've all come together, and hopefully this board will agree. And so, Mr. Goodman, I'll let you begin.
I'm Robert Goodman. I represent people with disabilities. I run health fairs in Century Village in Boca, and it's called Florida Navigators, named my company. So I'm here being a good advocate as always.
And thank you very much. Next, we have Marie Dorisman.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Marie Dorisman. I'm with Florida Department of Transportation. I am a transit coordinator. I oversee the Section 5310 grant, which is a federal grant to enhance mobility for seniors and people with disability.
Thank you. And next, we have Elizabeth Clark.
Hello, everyone. Elizabeth Clark. I am a program officer at Children's Services Council of Palm Beach County. It's essentially a contract manager, and I work with nonprofits such as Healthy Mothers, Healthy Babies, HomeSafe, and we contract with 4R Services, which is a taxi company as well. And this is my first meeting. I also have a beautiful daughter who's 4 and a half.
Thank you. Angela Choice.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Angela Choice. I'm with the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs. I am the Veterans Claim Examiner Supervisor for the West Palm Beach location. I have 7 counties that I'm responsible for, and I work at the VA Medical Center. And we assist veterans and their family members with applying for benefits that they may be eligible for.
All right. Laura Schultz.
Hello, my name is Laura Schultz. I work with the School District of Palm Beach County. I am the Exceptional Student Education Department Manager for Curriculum Instruction and Assessment. So supporting our students with disabilities as they work their way from pre-K up through postgraduate years and on into the adult world.
Marlene.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Merlin Ramnan, and I represent the Florida Department of Health here in Palm Beach County. Office is just not too far from here, 800 Clematis. And so we have a number of programs in our community health division. I oversee the division as the director, and you'll hear later on how many programs that we have, you know, within our division. So it's a lot of programs. We are the face of the community. We are always out there doing all types of things, health fair, participating in South Florida Fair, and many other activities. I also play a big role in our residency public health program, which we have 4 residents at the moment training in public health. And so once they're finished, then they launch and go into different health centers. Could be to be director like Dr. Lena Alonzo, in many different areas, may not be in the state of Florida, maybe elsewhere, but I also take a big part in that program. Thank you.
Mayor Stephen B. Grant, and I am here as a representative of the Transportation Planning Agency, which is a metropolitan planning organization set by federal law. to oversee the federal and state gas tax dollars. In addition, I'm the mayor of Boynton Beach, where the city has ADA coordinator, and I'm proud to say that we are moving forward with an Office of Equity and Inclusion so that all of our residents are welcome, and the visitors and businesses understand that everyone has a right to be here and have right to access in the United States of America. And also on the sad note, this is most likely my last meeting as chair, as my term of 6 years is up for the city of Boynton Beach. So it has been a huge pleasure serving on the TDLCB and finding from the county how much money Palm Tran actually uses, and learning a little bit more that there are more miles driven for Palm Tran Connection than the actual fixed bus routes, almost 100,000 miles more. And so, you know, I leave everyone with the mission trying to find ways to help the environment by closing the gap for the digital divide for our paratransit riders. Yuen?
Hello.
Loud. Good afternoon. My name is Wen Dang. I am a citizen advocate on this board. My background is transportation engineering and transportation planning. You know, I really like to see that access are being preserved and expanded, especially in our disadvantaged communities. So I'm just happy to be here.
Jerome?
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jerome Hill. I'm with the Agency for Healthcare Administration, served there as a program administrator for the Medicaid Fair Hearing Unit, and oversees recipients and providers and make sure that the programs that are provided are going through are vetted carefully by our constituents, state and federally. So that's what we do here at the Agency for Healthcare Administration.
Thank you. And Marja, we have Elise here virtually.
Yes, I have Elisa Kramer. And then Elisa, it should ask you to unmute on your end. I'm sorry, while we're waiting for her to unmute, Takesha, if you wanna do your introduction.
Yes, my name is Takesha Saffold. I am an advocate and also a consumer of Palm Tran Connection. I work as an accessibility advisor for Palm Beach State College. I also serve as a board of director for the Lighthouse for the Blind of the Palm Beaches. And I'm also an ADA consultant for MV Transportation.
Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Elisa. Are you able to hear me now?
Yes, we are.
Okay, thank you. I'm Elisa Kramer. I am the Community Development Administrator for the Florida Department of Children and Families here in Palm Beach County, Circuit 15. And, you know, DCF is the state social services agency. So we have programs such as child protective investigations, adult protective services, economic self-sufficiency, which handles public benefits, food assistance, Medicaid, temporary cash assistance. And we have a substance abuse and mental health program contracting with our managing entity, the Southeast Florida Behavioral Health Network. So my job at DCF is really to break barriers wherever we find challenges for our customers and the clients that we serve, to try to make sure that we are getting them connected to the services they need. And we have a new program, Hope Florida, a pathway to prosperity, which provides care navigators for individuals who come in to the department through any door and need assistance navigating systems, whether it's with employment, with housing, with educational needs, childcare. We partner a lot with a lot of the board members who are on this board and throughout the community.
Thank you. Next, we have Vanessa Palomino.
Good afternoon. My name is Vanessa. I work at Area Agency on Aging. I am a program compliance and quality assurance monitor. My role is to make sure that consumers who are in need are receiving services such as nutrition, homemaking, meals. And I also work as the liaison to make sure that the lead agencies that I look over are following the rules that were given by Florida Department of Elderly Affairs.
Thank you. Mallory Snott.
Good afternoon. I'm Mallory Snott. I'm the community liaison for the Agency for Persons with Disabilities. I'm here because our clients, they do use Comtrain Connect for work and social life. So we're here to make sure that they are receiving the service they need.
Thank you. James Bonfiglio.
Hi, my name is James Bonfiglio. Most people call me Jim. I am the representative for the elderly, even though I'm only 39 years old. Go figure. I've lived in Palm Beach County for 44 years, and I've lived in Ocean Ridge for 35 years. I've been an attorney practicing law in Palm Beach County for most of that time. I do primarily consumer law, defend people that can't afford their mortgage. I try to save the house and modify the mortgage. Former chairman and vice chairman of the Planning and Zoning Commission in Ocean Ridge for about 13 years, two-term commissioner, 1 year vice mayor, 1 year mayor. And now I'm trying to give back to Palm Beach County here on this commission. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Jody Bosford.
Hi, I'm Jody. I'm with Palm Beach County Community Services Department, the Securing Our Future Initiative, and I'm here to advocate for families of low income.
Thank you. I think we got everybody, and thank you for your comments. Next, I'll invite Alyssa Goldberg. Yeah, we got to change the agenda for that, don't we?
Need to change everything for that still, actually.
Right. It still says. And so if everyone wants to give Alyssa a round of applause, she was married and now her name is Alyssa Goldberg. So.
Okay. So it's great to see everyone here. I know that some of you may know me, some of you may not know me. My name is Alyssa Goldberg, almost said Alyssa Frank. I am the pedestrian bicycle coordinator here at the TPA, but I also help out with all of the fun LCB stuff. So I am happy to stand in as liaison while we search for a new planner one. So you will be seeing me until we fill that position. On to the liaison report. Actually, before I jump onto that, I do want to point out quickly, everyone has a little postcard in front of them. Florida is Florida Bike Month. I would not be doing my job if I did not point that out. So there are quite a few ways to get involved, and all of that information is available on that postcard. I can also, if you have a question about it, just ask and I will help you out. But onto the liaison report. The first thing on here is Legislative Awareness Day. February 16th was actually TD Day, or Legislative Awareness Day. This was up in Tallahassee. More information on this, how it went, all of that is actually available on the CTD's website. This is an annual occurrence, and it was great that this year it did not overlap with our LCB meeting. So I hope that, you know, some people in here were able to get up there and lobby. The 2022 AARP Community Challenge Grant. This grant actually provides small funds for, we'll say, quick action projects to help communities become more livable for people of all ages and abilities. The application is currently open and will be closing on March 22nd. More information on this grant opportunity is available on the AARP website. Florida Bike Love to Ride Challenge. FDOT is actually going to be hosting the first Love to Ride Challenge for Florida Bike Month. They've done it in the past for other months, but not for this one. So we're great. We're very excited to hear this. This is an opportunity for people to get cycling, get active, really get outside from March 1st to March 31st. It's a great opportunity to really kind of, like I said, get cycling out there. Find a place to just get active, and it's really great. This is a challenge. So if you are going to be participating, definitely make sure you register because you can win some awesome prizes doing this. some really great ones, and they do give out a good amount. So to register for this, it is lovetoride.net/Florida. If you need any help with anything, just let me know. Of course, I need to mention the LCB member presentations. We are very excited to have one today, but we still want to welcome all of you guys, all of the members, to come up and present about 5 minutes on what you do, what your role is, and how it relates to what we do as a board. So if you are interested in that, please reach out to me. We'd love to have, you know, everyone get up there and speak at some point. Of course, the TPI media release forms, we have not yet received completed media release forms from all of the LCB members. This form actually helps us in creating photo and video highlights of work and accomplishments for the boards and committees outside of our regular scheduled meetings. This can be downloaded on our website and then sent over to our executive secretary, Amanda, or again, you can send it to me and I can get it over to her, not a big deal. And then lastly, of course, we can't forget this one. We want to say farewell to Mayor Grant. Thank you so much for your time, both on our TPA governing board since April 2016, and as the chair of this board since March 2018. It has been an honor to, you know, have you as our chair, and we're going to miss you.
Well, thank you. It's something where transportation is a necessity for so many people, and that with this board, we are providing that necessary transportation for them to live a high quality of life. All right. Any comments on the liaison's report? If not, we will move on to action items. And now I'll invite Alyssa to present action item 2A.
Okay, so we don't actually have a presentation for this one. This is a motion, though, to recommend that PalmTran remains as the community transportation coordinator for Palm Beach County. So for those of us who are new or just don't remember all of the acronyms, the community transportation coordinator, or CTC, is actually the service that, you know, is PalmTran Connection. It is the door-to-door paratransit service that helps and that we really help oversee. So this is a contract that lasts 5 years. The last time this memorandum of agreement was done, it was in 2017. So the contract is up, and we do, you know, continue with our previous recommendations and believe that PalmTran Connection should continue as the CTC for Palm Beach County. So again, this is just a recommendation or motion to recommend that we continue with PalmTran Connection as the community transportation coordinator.
And seeing no further discussion, may I have a motion to approve? Yes.
Robert. Oh, thank you.
All right. Is there a second?
A second.
Second.
All right.
So yeah. I have a motion by Robert and a second by James.
Yes. And is there any questions or comments before we call for a roll call, please?
Mayor Grant, we don't require a roll call. You can just take a verbal vote. However, if you do want to do a roll call, I can.
Oh, the next one does require a roll call. So seeing how we don't need one for this one, all those in favor, state so by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Hearing none, motion passes unanimously. Next is the fiscal year 21 annual operating report. I'll invite Claudia Salazar, PalmTran Grants Coordinator, to present on action item 2B.
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, members of the board. I am Claudia Salazar, the Grants and Capital Project Analyst for PalmTran. And it was my task this year to complete the CTD Annual Operating Report, the AOR. And it's really a picture of what has happened through the year, the trips and everything that is provided with the funding that is received. For the grant for transportation disadvantage. I think that is important to understand that, again, it's just limited to those trips. There's so many other trips that Connection does. There is information on paratransit service based on the description that is done on the manual for this AOR report. That is not to include everything that we do ADA. So the definition for ADA is the service that we have to provide, we're required to provide by federal law within 3/4 of a mile from any fixed route. But Palm Beach County provides ADA to everywhere in the county, which again, we have different zoning that we do. And those trips, again, that we go outside of that area is what we call the TD trips that we provide and that we report on. Understanding the AOR, again, is just the information that we have completed a year. It goes from July through June, and the information that we provided was from the year 20 to the year 21. Again, it mirrors the information that we did on the invoices that we provided to the Commission for Transportation Disadvantaged. When we look at the information that we have, again, if you look at the instructions for the manual, it says us not to include any information that we have on fixed route, but there is a reason why we are reporting on trips that we did with fixed route. With the transportation dollars that you guys helped us secure, we run a program for low income individuals in Palm Beach County, where you can in fact, again, receive a reduced pass, which is usually the cost a year is about a cost a month, it's $75. But if you qualify because of low income, you get to buy your pass for $15 or $20 a month. And we get to do that and fund it again with the TD dollars, which is why we have, again, fixed route information in there. Ridership has gone down extremely because of COVID-19. And at the same time, the periods that we had in which we did not charge for service, so there was no need to issue the passes. And you will see that decrease in the trips. Not that we did that much less, but remember, we are reporting on the funds that we use with the TD dollars. Again, we report on the complimentary ADA, which I explained what it was, 3/4 of a mile from any fixed route, and paratransit outside of that area that we're required to provide. Trips purpose. And again, there is no limitation on the trips that we provide. It's accessible for everything else, but we do have the records and we're able to see, again, the majority of the people are going to work. And that is very important, again, for everybody to keep their livelihood, medical treatments, and then education and care for everybody else, and then life sustaining, everything else that they have, again, to have their day to day. The revenue source, we go back again, the information that we had from the CTD for, again, subsidy of the trips, and we have all the other information that we get from gas tax, from ad valorem funding from the county that again, help us with all the day-to-day expenses. You see that there was DOA before and it was Department of Elder Affairs. That is a grant that is now handled directly by that department. Please understand the people that qualify for the DOS service are still getting that service. It's just that the grant funding is going through the Department of Community Services now, not PAMTRAN, and that's why you do not see it there. But that again, the people that qualify for DOS continue to receive those trips. Provider by type, again, a lot of the stuff, everything that we do, the community transportation coordinator is PAMTRAN Connection. And then the transportation operator, again, are the MV and First Transit, the contractors that we have to do the trips for us. The vehicle data that we have, again, is a requirement to provide. How many calls did we have? The accidents that we have, vehicles. Many of you have access to the information that we have through our PAMTRAN service board, where you can see how we're striving again to reduce accidents, to improve the services that we keep, against statistics on everything else to maintain a safe service for our customers. The general financial data is the cost that we have. So again, we are funded by so many different sources of revenue where you can see, again, we got $24 million just to cover a lot of the stuff that we have for the service that we provide. And again, remember, these are people that do not have the vehicles to, again, get from point A to point B to their basic necessities. And these I will never say that it's expenses, it's investment in our community. The AOR summary, the most important thing that we had is how many trips under the grant agreement did we provide? And again, it's over 900,000 trips that we were able to do. Counting again that we provided minimal services, these are the ones that we billed for because it's during the times that we were charging fares. So that's why you see a decline on the comparison when you do 20 and even the year before. But more than anything, again, numbers are hopefully beginning to go up because service hasn't stopped. Regardless of the pandemic, we have been there for the community. Again, we hope that you have reviewed all the other information that we provided and that you can approve our annual operating report. We're working hard to get all the information for next year. But also, if you have any questions, please let me know.
And so I'll open up the floor.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman, is this a motion to recommend approval or a motion to approve?
It is to approve.
To approve, okay. You need a motion?
Yes.
I move to approve the fiscal year 2021 annual operating report.
Do we
have? I do have questions for Claudia. I'm sorry. Claudia, I was looking at
But do you mind if I get a second before we open it up for questions? Thank you. And then I think Margie will open it up to the board. And if there's any public comments, we'll go afterwards before our roll call.
Okay.
So, yes, Ms. Dorsman?
Yes. Claudia, I was looking at the report and I saw the no-show for 2021. You said 22,000 no-shows. Are those customers or providers?
Customers.
Customers. So
yes,
they booked the trip, but didn't cancel and
correct,
didn't
exactly
show for the trip.
With everything going on, there are people that have signed up for a service, again, 5 days a week. And it took a while for them to realize, yes, I'm going to commute today, and they forgot to cancel their trip. We have a lot of people who, again, now the family came in, well, I'm not working, no, mom, I'll take you. They forget to call connection and cancel the trip. There was a lot of adjustments for us to handle again. A lot of people, like I mentioned, they had their services signed up, they left, many different things happened, and we did see those numbers spike, but the no-show are customers not showing up.
And my other question, because of the volume of no-show, so I'm wondering, is Palm Train contacting those customers to confirm that they are taking the trips?
It's so many things that happen with that. And of course they do, because if you do this so many times, again, you can get a suspension from service on your first, again, there's a first offense where you get a warning. There's a second offense where you cannot schedule service for a while. There's a third offense, and then you cannot request the service anymore. So people do understand, and we do know that they are dependent on us, and there was a lot of the follow-up. On our side, we had a lot of people also telecommuting that were able to make all of those phone calls and make sure that things were happening. And that's how we know that this is what's happening, that it was, I forgot. And now I'm not gonna do that. Well, I'm not going to work anymore. I'm going to telecommute. They keep changing my schedule. There were different things. There were, again, medical appointments canceled. We heard it all. But of course, there's always that follow-up because it's the same for us. If you are a recurring and you were in there today, we wanna make sure that we don't send you a vehicle. And not only that, we had return trips. So there's a lot of follow-up. There was, again, it was a period of adjustment just to get everybody back in place to understand that if you have a recurring, you need to cancel. And not just our pickup, but again, it's a different trip for you to pick you up again on your return. So, and same thing, if you didn't show up in either one, because there's just so many people that we can call within that period of time, you have a no-show for the pickup and a no-show for the return. Because it could happen the same thing. We see it all the time that you got a ride and somebody took you there. You still need connection to come back. If you do not cancel that trip, we are going to show up. You scheduled the trip. We're there because you scheduled it.
But I'm wondering if we can put a system in place just to maybe confirm with those customers the day before that they will be taking the trip. Because having so many no-shows,
yes, that is over the course of a year. Like I mentioned, we had ups and downs in that period. We were reporting a whole year. So we had months that are horrible. And then again, like we said, with the follow-up, with everything else that we put in place, now we see the situation is stabilized and doing better. But it was chaotic for a while.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Goodman, then Jody.
Has it changed from 5-day reservations to 3-day reservations? Changed the number of no-shows?
I haven't seen the numbers lately. I don't know if Ron can help us with that.
We don't have exact numbers on that, but yes, our internal review is that yes, reducing the reservations time has reduced not only our no-shows, but also our cancellations. So, but over time, especially with the time period of the pandemic, it's kind of skewed the numbers. So we don't have a good apples to apples comparison, but moving forward.
Generally, it's gone down though.
Yes, correct. And also on your question, we do have what's called an imminent arrival, where our software calls the day and the night before, right, reminds the customer that they have transportation, and calls when the vehicles arrive. So through both, we do reminders to our customers.
That works for me very well.
Ron, do you mind stating your name and position for the record?
My apologies. I just jumped right into that. Ron Jones, I'm the operations manager for Palm Train Connection.
Thank you. Jody?
Thank you. Can you go back a slide or two? I have a question on the numbers. Yes. No, not this one.
Not this one.
No, go back. Go back. This one. Okay, so I'm really interested to see what strategies you put in place to increase the numbers between fiscal year 19 and fiscal year 20. That, I mean, you basically 6-timed the number of CTC rides. So I'm just wondering what strategies were in place to increase it by that much.
So the transportation operator is the contracted service is Pamtrak Connection. The CTC, which again is still Pamtrak, it's the passes and everything that we have done to promote. So the things that happened was with the trips and everything else, there was a promotion for people to move from paratransit to go into fixed route. So when you had that, you were able to get a card again and ride for free. And word gets around, so, well, how do I get the free card? But you didn't qualify for the free card, but you can still get your pass for $20 because you're low income. Social media has helped. And usually we do assume, well, Connection is just for the elderly and handicapped. And we have people that need the service, and especially fixed route. Everybody has a phone in their hand. A lot of the people do. And I think social media has helped get the word around that we have the programs to get you in the service and to get you, again, in a price that you can afford. And you can see it. Again, it is a program. If anything, we need more people to handle it because you have to get renewed every year, show that you're still qualified because of your income bracket. But it has worked.
Yeah, congratulations for that increase. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Takesha Saffold?
Yes, I have several questions, and I'm not sure if this is the most appropriate time to ask, but I've waited to ask these questions during this meeting. First and foremost, can you please confirm the time of service for paratransit during the week, primarily like the last trips of the day?
Their rule is we have to provide the service the same time that fixed route is in service. So whatever that last trip is, and our numbers indicate we even go beyond that because we can pick you up again right before that last time and we're still in transit taking you to your destination after that time passes. But the requirement is that we provide that service the same hours as fixed route.
Can you tell me, like, for example, Route 1 in Boca Raton, what would be the last time, like, headed south or any direction? What would be the last pickup time? And it's the reason why I'm asking.
That's what I have to open up again a schedule and look at that exactly. Route 1, northbound or southbound, I will look at the last time there, and that will be the last time.
Well, the reason why I ask this question is that I'm a student at Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton, and I live in Riviera Beach, which is north of
Boca, maybe about 30 miles north. And I cannot, for some reason, get a 9 o'clock pickup to get picked up from school to go home. I'm forced to get picked up between 8:45 and 9:15. Really, my class is not over until 9:20. But, you know, around 9 o'clock is sort of okay for me to try to leave and try to make it to catch the bus. This puts me at a disadvantage as a student who has to try to leave class much earlier because I can't get a pickup after 8:45. So I'm forced to leave at 8:45 when, you know, the service, I believe during the week is, I mean, I've gotten picked up at 9:15 to get home in other areas. Now, I was told because of the distance is the reason why, but at the same time, if I lived in Belgrade, I mean, will I get picked up much earlier? It just seems to be extremely unfair for someone who is in school or who is employed. If I was working in Boca and I don't get off until 9, I'm forced to get off at 8:45 I'm forced to be picked up at that time because they want drivers to be off the road by 10:30. But to me, if the service for the fixed route is up until 9:15 or whatever time and the service is parallel to the fixed route, then why am I forced to be picked up at 8:45? Why can't I get a pickup at 9 o'clock PM?
Well, that's what I have to check. So what I have to check again, and I'd rather if you, they can provide me with your information to reach out and see where your pickup location is and the hours that are served around. And we go back to the same situation. The paratransit service is supposed to match what we have on fixed route. So if the service ends at that time, again, it cannot begin for you at that time. That service isn't available to everybody else at that time. Like I mentioned, depending on the things that happen, again, the accommodations that are done, sometimes those vehicles could be in transit even after the fixed route is not running because of the pickup time. But I have to see that again, where would be the pickup, where is the delivery and everything else that we have to check on that, which again, I don't have all the tools to be able to do that analysis for you, but I will request that they provide me with your information and we'll be happy to reach out to you and check what is the best way to serve you in your situation.
Yeah, because wouldn't that be transportation disadvantage being that I'm a student and I need to be picked up after 9 or at least close to 9 as possible. And, you know, I have to rush out of class, which is, you know, a disturbance. For the students, I'm losing out on, you know, that time that the teacher is still lecturing to be rushed to try to meet, you know, the driver. It's just such a, you know, an inconvenience and a disadvantage for me as a student. I mean, I'm not out partying.
And we are aware of that. I think that as we go on and in the plans that we have in the future, there are plans set up for that are called like first mile and last mile for those people that need the service after the hours are done. So that's what I'm saying. I have to review your situation because right now we are limited by the hours of service. Those are the hours of service and we want to see if there's any way to accommodate you or if in fact we're not allowed to provide the service because it is outside of the hours of service. And same thing, we cannot again require from the contractors to go above and beyond. Again, we have everything in place. And the parameter that we have is that we have to mirror the fixed route hours, that you have service available to you during the same hours. But as I mentioned, we will review your information and get back to you to see what is the best that we can do.
Thank you, okay. Claudia. Takesha, I know you have other questions, but in the case of the question at hand is that if you could provide a written response to the board of the hours and the applicable things, we can move forward. So Ms. Saffold, sorry for the interruption. Do you have another question?
I do. It's different from my first question.
Okay. You said you had a couple, so please proceed.
Okay. My other question is that I know that dispatchers are working from home. I've received like private calls from dispatchers, you know, to say, okay, well, your bus is out there or whatever. And I was just sort of told or mentioned this the other day. I mean, being that they're working at home, I mean, they can't be provided with work phones, where most people don't answer phones to private calls, or they may even have their phone set to where it goes straight to voicemail. So that puts someone at a disadvantage who may not know that they're receiving a phone call from PalmTran if dispatchers are calling from their phones and they're calling private. I mean, that seems to be unprofessional.
Thank you, Ms. Saffold. Yes, Mr. Jones.
Yes, thank you, Ron Jones again. You are certainly right with that. And we will reiterate to the staff, because all the staff working from home have access to not only their computers, but the phone system directly remotely. So there's no reason why individuals should be calling you from their personal numbers. So we will follow up on that and make sure it doesn't happen.
Thank you.
And Ms. Saffold, do you have any additional questions?
No, those were all my questions. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. And Jody, did you have another question? You mind tipping your back? And I'll go around the room one more time. Doesn't look like we have any more comments. And my quick comment is that the GoGlade service, are those numbers part of this, the information?
No.
Okay. Thank you. And so seeing no further discussion, we have a motion and a second. I will now ask for a roll call.
Millery Sinnott.
Yes.
Thank you. Vanessa Palomino.
Here.
Wen Deng.
Yes.
Elisa Kramer.
Yes.
Jerome Hill.
Approved, yes.
Marie Dorsman.
Yes.
Angela Choice.
Yes.
Jody Boisbert.
Yes.
Robin Manuel is still absent. Merlene Remnon.
Yes.
Laura Schultz.
Yes.
Elizabeth Clark.
Yes.
Robert Goodman. James Bonfiglio.
Yes.
Takesha Saffold.
Yes.
Stephen Grant.
Yes.
It passes unanimously, Mr. Chair. All right.
Thank you. And those were our action items. Now we will move on to information items. I invite Rob Jones, PalmTran Director of Paratransit, to present this item, the CTC update.
Yes, thank you very much. Let's see. Again, Ron Jones, I'm the operations manager for PalmTran Connection. And this is the Community Transportation Coordinator 2022 update. And there we go. For the last 7 months, PalmTran Connection and our vendors have been experiencing severe driver shortages, identical to those faced nationwide. And with that, these driver shortages, I'm getting used to the button here. There we go. These shortages have led to reduced on-time performance and low customer satisfaction, which will be detailed within this presentation. Now, PalmTran Connection has issued a request for proposals for paratransit services. This was released on January 12th, 2022. And this is an 8-month process that we expect service delivery to begin on September 1st, 2022. As you can see, PalmTran service area is unique. The pinkish area shows the fixed route service area and the 3/4 mile ADA boundary. Bus service is very dense along the coastline and gets less dense as you move inland. The Pulpa region is the ADA service area beyond the 3/4 mile corridor, basically our core service area. But paratransit services are provided throughout Palm Beach County under the Transportation Disadvantage Program. Now, PalmTran Connection ridership peaked in February of 2020, dropping significantly during the pandemic, from a high of almost 86,000 trips per month, then falling to 27,600 trips. Ridership has slowly increased to the average 60,000 trips per month, but is still 30% lower than the pre-pandemic levels. Proportionate to the increase in ridership, Connection has seen a drop and then slow growth in our productivity. Connection's productivity fell from a high of 1.59 passengers per revenue hour to a low of less than one trip per hour to its current 1.5 trips per hour, a drop of about 6%. Our goal based on industry standards is 1.5 passenger trips per revenue hour. But again, this is based on pre-COVID standards and that might need to be updated as we move forward. At the height of our ridership, on-time performance was at a low of 79%. When ridership fell, on-time performance quickly climbed to the mid to high 90s for a 17-month period. But with the increases in ridership, on-time performance has slowly dropped to its current level of 75%. Now, considering the on-time performance challenges, our complaint ratio for transportation disadvantage program remains relatively low at 19 complaints, 10 complaints, and 12 complaints for the November, December, and January time period, which equated to two valid complaints for December, one valid complaint for January. Now, this is a reflection of the fact that while on-time performance is low, most trips are less than 15 minutes late. So we strive to make sure that our trips aren't too late, if that makes sense. Now, this totals six valid complaints for the three-month period, and the primary concerns are obviously late service, both for pickups and arrivals to the destination, discourteous employees, and long travel time. And while not specifically in this presentation, I also want to point out we also continue to have a very high commendation rate. And with that, are there any questions?
Yes. Mr. Jones, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Do you anticipate that ridership will increase as the pandemic subsides?
We do expect it to continue to increase. One significant increase in the coming months will be the return of the reopening of the senior program. So that probably is going to add to begin with at least 300 more trips per weekday. And then, yes, we do expect to continue to see a climb over the next months.
To what extent, if any, or if you know, has the decrease in ridership been attributed to people finding alternatives to Palm Tran ridership?
It certainly would, but we don't have specifically what the impact would be.
Okay. That's a thank you.
Thank you.
Jody?
I have a couple questions on the valid versus invalid complaints. First, who determines if a complaint is valid or invalid?
Every complaint we get is documented, and then it's investigated, and just through the investigation process of not only looking at the arrival time, the departure time, we look at the mobile data terminal that each vehicle has to make sure the vehicle was in the right place at the right time. So it is an internal review, but it takes into account our investigation, if needed, the vendor's investigation and any internal, staff that were involved and that sort of thing.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Marie?
Yes, let's talk about driver shortage.
Well, we continue to look to our vendors to be creative in how they advertise to recruit additional drivers. We do estimate system-wide we're probably about 120 drivers short of what would be fully staffed. But, it's just right now a difficult time. And, in one of our meetings the other day, even one of the vendors said that they are advertising on the gas pump. So a little ad you see sometimes at some gas stations pump gas now is trying to recruit from drivers. Job fairs, whatever they can do, word of mouth, whatever can be done to try to, let it be known that we are hiring, and, we are hiring right now a lot of drivers.
Mr. Goodman.
I know some of the providers are offering cash incentives. Have they worked at all to get new drivers?
Yes, but not enough to get us to where we need to be.
And looking at training for your drivers, I know I went a tour of the facility a few months ago. I noticed the driver I had this morning to get here almost had a head-on collision because she didn't look at the sign that said keep right. I'm going to call later, but when you're doing driver training, are you trying to encourage them to read signs. It was so obvious this morning.
Definitely, and it is a two-week in-class training process before the driver's put on the road as a cadet trainee with an experienced driver. Certainly that would be unacceptable and we'll look into it. But you know, safety is our number one priority, especially with, you know, with all drivers, but especially with new drivers, and making sure they are aware of, you know, being cautious while out on the road.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any other comments? Margie, any public comments?
No, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next, we have Palm Tran Major Transit Development Plan. I'll invite Anna Bileska to present this item.
So, Mayor Grant, with the public workshop happening at 3:30, is there any possibility we could push that to the next LCB meeting? We need to kind of do a flip for the room.
Gotcha.
And give everyone like a nice 15-minute break before we do that.
Not a problem. And so our last presentation will be from Dr. Marlene Ramnon for the local medical community to print this item.
Actually, do you want me to come up to the podium or is fine here?
Do you need the clicker?
It's your preference. We can bring the clicker or my staff can advance the slide. You'll come up? Okay.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Marlene Ramnon, as you can see on the board, and I represent the Florida Department of Health. So I just wanted to share a couple of things that we do and how my role, our job, relates to this agency, Transportation Disadvantaged Group. Okay, so we have a number of programs in our health department. And so one of the first program I wanted to talk about is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And we shorten it by calling SNAPED. So this is for persons who are below the 200% poverty level. And so, you know, we do a lot of education to the participants. And of course, these are participants who are going to have problems accessing transportation and a number of other different things, but more so transportation to get to and fro for services. So we have two main staff that does the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And I know you guys must have heard about this program before, pretty much called, it's pretty much called the food stamp. So the food stamp is what these particular persons would have been getting, or where they would go to get this particular, you know, I would say voucher. And so we have to make sure that these are participants who are able to access the vouchers. They're able to go and collect services. And then we have the tobacco program, and that's one of our programs that we have had in existence for a very long time. So Tobacco Free Florida, everyone must have heard about Tobacco Free Florida program. And so when you think about areas in the Western communities like Belgrade, how are the clients accessing, you know, services and what are they doing there? And we find that most these underserved populations, whether it's going to be the youth or it's going to be adults or whether it's going to be their multi-unit housing, you'll find a lot of tobacco products and also electronic vaping in those areas. So the way we look at it is that if we can spread the message out there about cessation for these programs by having, you know, maybe a bus wrapper, maybe at the bus stops, we have pretty much like brochures or whatever we can possibly think of to educate the community, because the tobacco program is all policy driven. It's more prevention. It's not just application. And when we have policies in place, this is how we are going to get compliance when it comes to the usage and not the usage of tobacco. And then we also have what we call the Health Equity Program, which is a brand new program that, you know, our central office has developed and designed. And all 67 counties are involved in this health equity program. And most of you have heard about health equity. Sometimes we don't like to use that word. We just want to say equal opportunities for everyone. We know they may not have equal opportunity depending on what the needs are, but just accessing services. So this is where health equity comes in. And we talk about cultural competency too, in terms of language, in terms of so many different factors. We also have what we call the refugee program within our agency. And so these are people that are coming from all walks of life. Transportation is a big issue for them. And sometimes we have some of the social services that are taking these clients to access services. One of the main one I want to stress on is clinical services. So clinical services, we have about 5 health centers. And they're all spread out from the northern end to the southern end to the western communities as well. And so our clients, they do access services, for example, maternity services, they access HIV services, they access family planning services, STD services, immunization, which you know is a big talk of today, immunization. And that's one of the programs that has been around for a very long time. But now that we have COVID, there's a lot of different talks about the COVID vaccine and so on. But we have the immunization program that is strictly geared for also our kids who are going back into the school system. And so we wanted to make sure that kids and also adults, they have access to these type of services, especially when it comes to transportation. For environmental health, that's another big program that we have where people are often coming into our department looking at septic tank, childcare, and some of those major environmental health issues. For epidemiology program, of course, we all know about the contact tracing. We all know about some other 93 diseases that we investigate. And so, you know, staff pretty much have to move from one place to the other. Clients may have to come into the clinics or go to those other areas within our department for services. For vital stats, we all know what vital statistics is about. And so we talk about birth and we talk about death. And so our department at 800 Clematis on the first floor is always full for persons coming in for birth registration, you name it. And so again, transportation is also a big issue for some of our clients that come to access services. And some may come very early, some may come very late. And I heard a lot of talk about the type of services and the time that clients are really and truly accessing services. Of course, our offices are open 8 to 5, but then we do have a process in which some of the clients, you know, when we were kind of like in the middle of the pandemic, then we had those type of services, online services that client could actually, again, not everybody has a computer, not everybody is able to read the language, and so they have to come in person for services. We also have preparedness, and preparedness is one of the, we may have to have pods set up, and when we started the whole vaccine sites and we had the pod at the Senior Citizen Center, we would see a lot of clients trying to get to and through those areas. And I think those are mainly some of the major services that I want to talk about that we provide. And so we work hand in hand with this transportation group. And so it's my pleasure to sit on this board and to advocate for our clients. You know, a couple of years ago, we saw where one of the bus routes was modified or changed. And so we find that our maternity clients, they were not able to move from one area to get to the next. And we're talking about like St. Mary's Ripik, where there was a bus stop inside and that was moved. And so it posed a problem for maternity clients. Most time we see our clients coming, they're pregnant and they have 2 other kids with them. And so it's a struggle, especially when it's hot, it's a, you know, one of those warm days. and they have to walk with their kids and all their baggages to get from one place to the next, especially when they're high risk and they have other conditions. They can't take a taxi and so on and so forth. I have with me Nicolette Sass, who is also over the tobacco program. So I don't know if she wants to make mention of anything else about the tobacco program. Nicolette? Okay, she says not at this time. So I think I've given you a pretty quick rundown, the 5 minutes presentation as to what we do and how we see the transportation, the role that you're all here for, how you do pretty much, I would say, support what we do as well with the health department. And again, we have so many, many services and all the clients in Palm Beach County and our residents who access the services. Transportation is a big issue. And so we thank you for what you're doing. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And I don't think we have any partner agency updates. And so I'll ask for adjournment. As a reminder, we will be conducting a public workshop starting at 3:30. We encourage you to stay and participate. Our next board meeting is scheduled for May 25th, 2022. At this time, our board meeting is adjourned.